one here who is imprisoned by your circumstance, by grief, by pressures, anxieties. Know that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us, and He wants to release us this morning from our chains. He wants to release us this morning from the things that bind us, the things that stop us from knowing Him, from knowing His love, from knowing His joy. Know that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would break the chains this morning, that You would release us in Your name, by Your Spirit this morning, that Your power would be at work here, breaking chains, releasing Your children in Your name. Amen. Very good morning to you. It's wonderful when you're in a time of worship and praise and adoration that makes you wonder whether you really need to preach the sermon at all. Because we have acted out this morning everything I'm going to be saying to you this morning in our sermon, and in our reading. The story that we're going to be looking at is from Acts 16, where Paul and Silas are in prison. So they've turned up at Philippi, and they've seen Lydia come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul and Silas have been going around preaching to people, and there's been this slave girl who has a python spirit, a spirit that gives her the ability to tell fortunes, to predict the future. And she starts going around with Paul and Silas saying this. I'll read it to you, actually. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, you might think Paul might like that, but I'm sure the constant shouting got on his nerves. And I'm sure it wasn't really great advertising for Paul to be associated with a girl with a python spirit, with this fortune telling, with this demon inside her. And so they cast out the demon. And of course, the owners of the slave girl are a bit bemused by this, because suddenly they've got no means of income. So they have Paul and Silas put into prison. Picking up from verse 22 of Acts 16, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." So the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all your household." Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house at that hour of the night. And the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and all his family. Who was in chains? Who was imprisoned? Was it Paul and Silas who were in the inner cell with their feet in stocks, praising Jesus? Free from condemnation, free from any oppressor, and yet bound physically. Or the jailer. The jailer who was not in captivity. He didn't have his feet in stocks. He wasn't in the inner cell. He could move around. He was free. And yet, what he needed was the freedom that he saw in Paul and Silas. Freedom to praise. Freedom to live. Why do we worship God? Why do we sing songs? Why do we praise? In part, it's in gratitude, it's in response to what Christ has done for us. Of course, we learn theology through our singing, through our praising. It teaches us truth. We've been singing words of truth this morning. And perhaps, you know, perhaps we could think to ourselves, well, we'll sing it to a tune, we'll praise this objective truth to a tune, and then we're more likely to remember the words. But Paul, in his inner cell, is singing songs for a different reason. He is grateful for what God has done. Yeah, how would you feel in the same situation with that great injustice done to you? Would you be praising? Would you be thanking? I wonder what I would be thinking. And yet Paul and Silas knew no one else could help them. They went to the only one who had any power to do anything in that situation, but not in intercessory prayer. Verse 25 of chapter 16 in the NIV and lots of other translations says, praying and singing hymns. They were praying and singing hymns. Actually, the original Greek, which you see in Young's literal translation, says, praying, they were singing praise. Praying, they were singing praise. The praise was the prayer. The prayer was the praise. So we're going to look at a few things that were happening in that cell as they praised. Things that happen here as we praise. First of all, Paul and Silas were connecting with God's plan. Not knowing what was going to happen. They could have been downcast, downhearted. But they knew what had happened. They knew that this Jesus who they were praising had been crucified for their sins, to forgive them, to set them free. And he had been risen to life to give them life. Do you have life this morning? Are you free this morning? Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know what he has done for you? Paul and Silas had a sense of his power. They knew what he had done. They were certain that he was with them. They'd seen him bring Lydia to life. They'd seen him cast out this demon from this slave girl. And I suspect this slave girl had come to follow Jesus. It doesn't say that, but the story of the slave girl is sandwiched between the conversion of Lydia and the conversion of the jailer. Likelihood is the slave girl came to Christ too. Either way, they'd seen the the power of Jesus Christ. Do you know, Christianity is not just optimism, it's not just positive thinking. Jesus has died. Jesus has taken our sin away. Hallelujah, Jesus is powerful. Jesus is alive. And he sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we can live with him. Focusing on what God has done gives us the ability to see, to have confidence in his power to act now. There's a song that sometimes gets sung and sometimes gets criticized. There is power in the name of Jesus. One of the verses says, "And in his presence our problems disappear." And I know why people criticize that. Because they say, well, our problems don't go anywhere. Paul and Silas were still in their stocks. Paul and Silas, while they were singing, in his presence were still incarcerated in a physical prison. But I can see why the author wrote, "Our problems disappear," because actually they cease to be problems and start to be opportunities to see God at work. And the problems don't quite seem so problematic when we're glorying in the presence of our Savior. And I don't want to take anything away from our problems, because our problems are real. Our problems are big. There is grief. There is trauma. There is depression. We have huge, huge problems. And yet, God's Spirit is with us. He is here in our problems, in the midst of our problems. And so we can praise him in the storm. Praise him in the chaos. He is with us. They were connecting with God's plan. Secondly, they were connecting with God's presence. This prayer wasn't just asking for things. This was a connection that they were making with God. Like we were connecting with God this morning in our praises to him as we sang. So Paul and Silas were connecting with God. Jesus says, in John 14, "I am going to send you the Holy Spirit who will be with you." And Jesus gives them his peace. And we can have that peace too, in the middle of our difficult circumstances. Because praise is about truth. Praise is about expressing truth. But I'm learning that praise is more than just expressing truth. I used to say that praise was simply proclaiming the truth about God. How wonderful he is, you know, and read a psalm and proclaim that about him. And that's praise. In a sense, that is praise. But praise that lifts us. Praise that does something miraculous in us is praise that connects us back to God through that truth. In a sense, that the praise becomes the glue that makes the truth stay in us, that helps us to know that the truth is true, not just with our heads, but with our hearts, and then we can start to act it out, as we'll see in a minute. When I'm looking for an anniversary card for my beautiful wife, I want to find one that sums up kind of how I feel about her, and that gives some truth about what is true about our relationship, about what is true about her. And it reminds me of why we got married, and I get excited about it. I don't just think, "Oh, that's true. Good, I'll give her that because, you know," and then give it to her. Or even just read it myself, just to remind myself of the truth about why we got married. No, I give it to her, and in giving her a card, I'm sort of inviting her inviting her to be part of my life continually, saying, I still want you to be part of my life. I still love you. I still want you to be my wife. And hopefully, in giving the card, it brings us together. It helps the relationship. I've noticed we still have our anniversary cards up beside our beds at the moment, and our anniversary was in August. But they mean a lot to us. Truth about Jesus means a lot to us. But not just in our heads, in our hearts too. It invites God's joy. David says in Psalm 51, give me again the joy that comes from your salvation. It invites God's light. I can praise when I find it hard to praise when I'm feeling guilty, when I know I've done something wrong and I need to seek forgiveness. But when we praise, we invite God to shine his light on us, to turn us around, to change us. We invite God's peace so that we can have trust, so we can have confidence in him. We can trust him instead of worrying and being uncertain. We can have the certainty of his peace. We invite his boldness. Lord, you can. You can. And that brings us joy in our adversity. We become happy to suffer. Matthew 10:22. Jesus says, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. He suffered. And he knows that we'll suffer, that we will be hated, that we will have adversity. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So what can men do to me? What can people do? Psalm 118. 5 to 7. I mean, the whole of Psalm 118 is wonderful, but verses 5 to 7. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. We invite God's compassion to see people with pity, with love, instead of criticism. We invite God's power. There's an earthquake in this passage. A violent earthquake that opens the doors, that sets them free, that leads to the salvation of the jailer. God can do earthquakes. He can shake the foundations of the things that are troubling us, of the circumstances that are difficult for us. He can send an earthquake. Are we going to invite him in our praise? To invite victory. The end of Romans 8. If God is for me, who can be against me? We're more than conquerors. What can separate me from the love of God? That is my favourite passage in the Bible. But I have a favourite verse, and it's this. Psalm 8, verse 2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies. Children and infants can engage in spiritual warfare. They can walk in victory. Praise is more than just truth. It's more than just feelings. Praise does something. Praise engages in something in the heavenly realms. We can be part of it. As we praise, we invite his victory into our lives. We invite his faith so that we can pray big prayers. Worship sets the stage for miracles. Worship sets the stage for God to act in mighty, mighty, mighty ways. He may not change our circumstances. We may still find ourselves in the stocks as we praise. But he will change us. And we will see him work in victory. So we can have peace. Thirdly, finally, connecting with a person. They connected with God's plan. They connected with God's presence. And thirdly, they connected with a person. The jailer. Why didn't Paul and Silas escape when they had the chance? Well, they knew what would happen to the jailer if they did. Now, I don't know why all the other prisoners stayed there as well. What was their incentive? They weren't even in the inner cell. They could have easily done a runner before Paul and Silas had seen them. I have no idea. I'm guessing it's just the power of God that he kept everyone there. They knew what would happen to the jailer, and one act of kindness in that prison cell, as the doors swung open, as the jailer woke up, as he reached for his sword, one act of kindness. We are all here. Led to the salvation of that man. Yeah, God provided an earthquake. But was God's voice in the earthquake? Or the still small voice of, we are all here. And now Paul and Silas had no reason to try and crowbar Jesus into a conversation. He'd done it all. Jesus had provided the stage. So this man asked, what can I do to be saved? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is release from your chains. And as Victoria was saying this morning, if you don't know Jesus, then know him now. Because life without Jesus is not life lived. And maybe you are in chains this morning of not knowing Jesus. And maybe they don't feel like chains. But if you don't know Jesus, that is living life inside a prison. Jesus sets us free. He wants to release you from your chains, to release you into praise, to bring you joy, to help you to fall in love again with him, to live fearlessly, to live at peace, to live victoriously. He wants you to know him more. And he wants you to know his power. So no matter how you feel, no matter what you face, let him lead you into praise that changes situations and that will change you. Let's pray. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the Spirit of Jesus to break every chain. Lord Jesus, we bring to you the things that separate us from you, the things that bind us. Lord, shine your light on us right here, right now. Show us where we need to repent. Show us where we need you to release us from something, maybe an addiction, maybe a grudge. Maybe we just need to be released from sadness. A grief so deep that it stops us from praising you. It stops us from lifting up your name. And we just want release this morning. Release to praise you once more. To know again the joy that comes from your salvation. Let your living water flow over our souls. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled our minds. All our cares and burdens unto you we run. Come, Lord Jesus. The word says to all those who repent of their sins, our sins are forgiven. You make us whole. Thank you, Jesus.